Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information. You may be cheating and lying. Don't pass your judgment before the trial is through.
Keep your head up high. Don't let it lie. Don't let it catch you down your knees. Boy, what would you do? What would you say? She'll treat you just like she treated me. I'm not preaching to you. Let that be a lesson to you. Don't pass your judgment before the trial is through. This is the Daily Memphian Midday News Brief. As the area around it has changed dramatically in the last 15 years, the building that was once Porter Junior High School in what is now known as South City has struggled. It has had partial and limited renovations in an afterlife as a community center for the surrounding public housing projects, a police boxing program, and family trouble center. But a more extensive renovation and mixed-use rebirth is currently underway at the corner of South Lauderdale Street and Georgia Avenue. The anchor of the project that is part of the South City Choice Neighborhood Initiative is an early childhood center by Porter Leith that will open the center with 108 2-4-year-olds next summer and grow that in the second phase. The center will serve children in the area and from across the city. The third phase of the project is the South City Cultural Arts Museum. The intersection at Lauderdale and Georgia, legendary for twists and turns and confusing signage, is getting untwisted and unturned by Memphis road crews who were working on Thursday as leaders gathered behind the gym on the corner. For Bildries, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on this story and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
Grindset, inside the mind of successful entrepreneurs with your host, Cynthia Daniels and William Sprack.
Welcome back to another episode of Grindset. I'm your host, Cynthia Daniels, Chief Event Strategist of Cynthia Daniels & Company.
And I'm your host, William Sprack, business coach and author of The Small Business Guide to Capital Readiness.
And on today's episode, we have Angela Castor, the owner of Hair Angel Love Salon. One thing I really am excited about sharing with this particular story is that this is someone who actually knew their passion was doing hair. And sometimes there's that stigma of, well, you know, doing hair or being in the service industry really isn't profitable. But I think we all know how much women love getting their hair done on a weekly basis.
Beauty is big business.
It's a big business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll definitely get a chance to hear Angela's journey, but also just really understanding how one career pathway can segue into another. So she started in accounting. And now as a business owner, that accounting actually makes her business more profitable.
Listen, Angela has fashioned her salons after the old school salon feel.
Okay.
And when I say that beauty and hair salons are big business, the industry in the U.S. in 2022 was $48.3 billion in revenue. You can talk about doing hair all you want, but the average salon made $245,000 a year annually.
That's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's getting the hair done, but it's how you feel after. As a man, I know how it feels after a fresh haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine women feel much the same way. And so we're going to talk about the beauty business, the hair salon business, and the economics of it. Because you do hair don't mean you'd be good in the hair business. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Grindset, and we'll be right back with Angela Castor, owner of the Hair Angel Love Salon.
R&R on Sports.
Pitcher, left-hander, Vida Blue. Welcome to R&R on Sports.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on. Let's get it on, man. Let's talk baseball.
It's R&R on Sports.
Grind set.
We're back once again with Angela Caster, owner of Hair Angel Love Salon. I'm super excited to have this guest just because I actually am a client of Angela, and you'll hear me reference her as Angie from time to time. So, you know, during the pandemic, I was able to discover a salon that feels like my second home. So I'm so excited to bring her to the show. Welcome to Grind Set.
Thank you.
I knew the hairstyle looked familiar.
So Angie, tell us first and foremost how you came up with the name of Hair Angel Love Salon, and what caused you to create this atmosphere during the pandemic, mind you.
Yeah, it's really weird how I came up with that name. I was actually sitting at my desk at St. Jude working.
Mm-hmm.
And
In accounting. Okay.
Working. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of frustrated trying to, you know, figure out how to move forward. Mm-hmm. And I was like, start off by the name. I was listening to T.D. Jakes' message.
Okay.
And he was like, you know, start writing down the vision, make it plain. So I was like, okay, let me find the name of my salon. So I came up with it, Hair, the three things that I love.
Okay.
And I love hair.
Mm-hmm.
My dad calls me Angel. So wow. He refers to me as Angel. So I use the Angel. And I'm all about love. Like, my mom has always taught us love each other.
I love that.
Walk in love. So that's where the name came from. Hair Angel Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then take us to the moment. Again, you're in this cubicle. You're working in accounting. Not really being true to your passion. What was that moment when you said, I have the name. Now I have to make it plain?
So I reset twice.
Okay.
When I created the name, I was at St. Jude.
Mm-hmm.
And I left and I started working at Sports Clip. I was like, you know what? I'm stepping out.
But still hair.
Still hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, but I get a check. So I was still trying to feel comfortable.
Sure.
I knew I was going to get a check. You know, I was like, okay, I can go work there.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out. Ended up back at St. Jude. And then I started at a company called Relocation Management.
Okay.
Government relocation moves, working in their accounting department.
Okay.
And one day, I was hustling and bustling, working with kids, my kids, trying to get them where they needed to go and work. And my job was very demanding. And one day I came in and my boss, he was like, hey, Angie, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So I walked in his office and he was like, you know, you stayed gone an extra 10 minutes yesterday going to pick your sons up. So what would happen, I would use my lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
I would not take my lunch to 3.
Okay.
To go pick my kids up who had to be out of school at 3:15.
Uh-huh.
So I would work through lunch or eat at my desk to keep working.
Sure.
So one particular day, traffic got, you know, crazy. And I was driving from Quince to Cordova every day.
Wow.
To go get them from school, off from CI, from Quince, and then going to Cordova, then coming back to work. So
right.
This particular day, he was fed up with it. He was like, you know, you take too long. And I thought he was about to fire me. I thought he was like, you know, I'm going to write you up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting there and I had an out-of-body experience, literally.
Okay.
I was sitting there and it was like, you know, spirit was like, what are you waiting on? You listening to this man fussing at you. You already know what you should be doing.
Wow.
What are you waiting on? Your comfort zone. And I remember coming out of it and I was like, you know what? I think this is it.
It's time.
He was like, yeah, it's time. He was like, no, what do you mean? It's like, yeah, you know, I think this is it. I'm not trying to fire you. I said, you know what?
Yeah.
It's okay. This is it. And I went to my desk and I wrote my resignation letter.
And that was it.
And that, at the time I was married, I called my husband. And I was like, guess I'll just see it.
Yeah.
Like, you quit your job. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got a plan.
And so even he knew it because you mentioned off air that you had been really doing hair for 23 years.
Yes. I was doing it at home.
That was your passion.
Yeah,
and you started at 10 years old?
I started rolling my grandmother's and my mom's hair at 10 years old.
That's crazy.
I was 10. For Saturday night for church Sunday morning.
You know, and for me, I'm playing with cabbage patches and Barbie dolls. Like, no, I want to do the real thing.
None of my Barbie dolls had hair. You know, I was cutting all the hair. We was, you know, braiding and plaiting. My mom taught me how to braid at 10. So my mom, she just knew how to do hair, but she never took it seriously.
And I think that's important for the Grind Set audience, Angie, is that sometimes that passion is with you even at a young age. Yeah. But the American dream is go to college, get a degree, work a job.
Yes.
And I think more and more people are being true to themselves. So I applaud you for taking that leap.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So fast forward then, you took the leap, you had a plan. How did you find that brick and mortar as a new business owner?
So I like riding the city.
Okay.
And when I decided to say, you know, I want my own, because I was working when I decided to leave, I didn't go right into my own brick and mortar.
Okay.
I went and worked under, because I had been out of the salon business, the salon part of it.
Sure.
I'd been doing it at home, so I didn't know if I was behind. I felt like I had to get my tools together. What do I need? Like, you know, are the styles different now? You know, I was doing kitchen beautician.
Sure.
So I started working in another salon, and she helped push, she motivated me. She catapulted me.
Nice.
She actually supported me, and she taught me what she knew.
Okay.
And
so you almost had a mentor.
I had a mentor.
Okay.
Perfect. I had a mentor, and I stayed there for a couple of years, learned. And I was like, you know what? I was getting older, and I was like, it's either now or never. Hmm. Started riding the city, and I just ran up to it. And I said, you know what? If this is mine, let it be something that I can do, you know, on my own if I don't have any stylist in here.
Wow.
And the door opened.
May the Lord open. So Angie, what services do you provide? What services did you start with, and what services are you providing today?
Services I started with. So when I first came in, I wanted to come in, you know, we had to go with what's making us money, because I had kids. I had a whole family. I was like, I can't, you know. So I had to do crochets first. I started off being a crochet queen, they labeled me. I didn't want that label, but I was doing it so much and I was good at it. So they labeled me crochet queen. But I've, you know, since then, I knew then that I love haircuts, short hair, styling hair, you know, extensions. So now I've been able to add all of those things to, you know, I still do crochets, but I do haircuts. We do extension sew-ins. we do hair replacement, male hair replacement. We do color. Yes, we highlight. We do highlights, all kind of color services. But my love to haircut, though.
Locks and twists and two strands are very popular these days.
Yes. So I don't not have a stylist in the salon that does more of the natural styling than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do those, but, you know, I kind of move towards what feels natural to me. So I let the other stylists, they handle all of that. And we have an amazing natural hairstylist. We have two amazing braiders. We have a young lady that does amazing ponytails. Like, they label her the ponytail queen. So shouts out to Raven, Jasmine, and Miss Adrian. Like, they are awesome. So everybody has their own kind of corner in what they love to do and what feels natural for them. So for me, it's haircut and color, extensions, crochets, you know, male replacement, hair replacement. And I let them, you know, everybody flow in their own right.
Well, Angie, thank you. Now that we know what you do, we're going to talk about the business of salon. You're listening to Grind Set with Cynthia and Brack, and we'll be right back after the break.
Kudzukian. The company is based in Memphis, but it is international.
A new building, an expanded team, new equipment, a new studio, all inside of 7 years.
The resources that we were able to utilize with Kudzukian and their team has been incredible. And our partners at Kudzukian has been a large part of our success.
One, it's Black owned. So we get to tell our own stories in our own way.
With social media and the technology we have today, the world is listening.
Kudzukian. Check out all your Kudzukian favorites now. Download the Kudzukian app, available on Android and iOS.
Grind Set. Grind Set.
Welcome back to Grind Set. We're here with Angela Caster, Angie, owner of the Hair Angel Love Salon, which she opened back in 2019. And like we said at the top, being good at hair is different from actually running a hair business.
Yes.
Talk about some of the lessons you learned in the first year. And I have to throw a qualifier in there that you worked in accounting, but not all accounting is equal.
Yes.
So talk about business in that first year for you, Angie.
The idea of what you just said, being a hairstylist, being in the beauty industry, is not the same as being a business owner. And I had to learn that firsthand, just, you know, working at a salon, being able to come in, do my clients and leave and not having to worry about anything. But now I have to make sure, you know, everybody's things are safe, or make sure the lights stay on and make sure the water, you know, is good, and make sure if the light goes out, it's definitely different. Just the responsibilities of it all.
So how do you find time to handle all those responsibilities and take on clients at the same time? Like, is there enough time in a day for that?
It's never enough time in a day. There is never enough time in a day. But you know what? I feel like certain avenues and certain areas in our life, we were just created for.
Mm.
And I just feel like every morning I wake up with the strength and the mental capacity to handle it. Even when it becomes too much, it gets handled. So I just feel like I was built for it, because it happens and it works every day. I have no idea.
So I would love for the public to know, you know, because again, as women, we've all been to a salon, but yes. On the business side, what does that look like for you every day?
On the business side, it looks like getting there extra early, mm-hmm. before the salon opens.
Okay.
I pride myself on having a clean salon every morning, mm-hmm. when the clients come in, before they come in. I don't like having yesterday's dirt.
Right.
In the new day.
Okay.
So I get up extra early. I drop my kids off at school. Mm-hmm. I come in, I sweep, I mop, I sanitize.
Wow.
The chairs before everybody come in. I set the tone. I was told when I first got my salon by another salon owner that you are the tone setter for your business.
Mm.
So whatever tone it is when you come in the morning, that's what it's going to be. Sometimes I don't make it there first.
Okay.
But I try to make it there first. And I light candles and get the ambiance of the whole thing together.
Okay.
Empty trash. Like, mm-hmm. I take trash out. I'm cleaning bathrooms.
So it's not
like,
glamorous.
It's not glamorous. No.
But you get it done.
By the time the clients get there, they're like, oh, yeah.
It's so sparkly clean and nice.
They're going to smell the bleach on my hands.
But I think people need to understand, as a business owner, there's just additional responsibilities.
It is.
So that's part of your reputation. If I were to come in and if I saw hair everywhere from yesterday, I may not want to come back. I may not want to refer a friend to come in.
Right.
So that's a big part of it.
Right. And that's one of the things, even when I opened,
mm-hmm.
I wanted my salon to be like that. I remember going to the salon with my mom as a young girl on Saturday. We would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and get our hair done. And we would not leave until 6 o'clock in the evening.
I remember
that. Now I can't go outside because it's dark and my hair done. I got to keep my hair tight for church.
But
the
church
next
on
morning.
Sunday.
So I remember sitting around and just, you know, taking all that in. And I remember sitting there saying, you know, my salon is not going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
I want my salon to be like that. I want So it's just remembering.
Yeah.
Remembering what I wanted. And actually, it's a blessing to be able to put those things in place now for my own spot.
And let me ask you another question for the GrindFit audience, Angie. You did shout out your amazing team that you work with.
Team.
You have three other ladies that work in a salon. How did you, number one, recognize they were the ones that fit the brand and the reputation you wanted to uphold? And then secondly, you know, how does it work in terms, and I'm stepping into Bragg's Lane a little bit, but how do you make money bringing them into your salon?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I actually have a connection with some the beauty schools here.
Okay.
Empire and Paul Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and I speak to the students sometimes, mm-hmm. and we're connected to where when they get young ladies that's willing, ready to graduate,
okay.
I'll go and I'll talk to them and I'll interview them.
Okay.
And when I first opened Well, Adrienne came to me, the eldest out. She's my manager there. Mm-hmm. She's the oldest out is there. She came from with me from the previous salon that I worked in.
Gotcha.
And we just connected. And, you know, her energy, my energy, we just meshed really well. Mm-hmm. And when I left, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I didn't want to take her from, you know, where she was. But I was like, hey, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And
she came.
Come with if you want. You know, if not, I understand. But she ended up a couple months later, she came. Mm-hmm. And my chair stayed empty for a little while because I wanted the correct energy to match the ambiance and what I was trying to build there.
Gotcha.
So when I would go to the school and meet the young ladies, I would meet the whole school. Yeah. So it was certain ones that would stand out. Mm-hmm. It was certain ones. I remember when I met Raven, it was like she was in the cut. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the one always asking the questions, raising her hand, got to have something to say. She was in the cut and she asked me a question and it's just her energy. She was so engaged and she looked me in my eyes and she was asking questions and she was like, well, I'm doing her at home. And I was like, you got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to her and I connected with her. I saw myself in her.
Oh, wow.
And then she ended up reaching out to me and she said, I want to work in your salon.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And the same thing with Jasmine. So what happened with the next stylist, Raven raved about Hair Angel Love, the salon.
And your reputation.
The reputation. She was like, hey, you know, you would love it here. And I had already been looking at Jasmine's page because I follow all the young ladies.
Okay.
So I try to keep them on track. Hey, you need to get this off your Facebook. Get this off. It's not conducive to with your brand. Like, you know, you're doing too much on you. So I kind of mentor them a little bit.
Yeah.
And I remember already knowing who Jasmine was, but I didn't know that her and Raven knew each other.
Mm. Wow.
So Raven told her the energy that was in the salon and Jazz called and she was like, I want to work there. And I was like, cool. So I didn't even look for them.
Wow.
I set the tone and they came and they came to me. They could have picked any salon in the city, but they remember me from the school.
And I love that. And I think that's almost a major key brag that, yes, she had open chairs and she could have just put anybody in it, but you still want to have the right person for your business.
Yeah.
Giving back can be a recruiting tool as well, huh?
Yes. Yes, it is. And in that way, I'm able to kind of see and feel and they can see and feel me because it's just not about me putting somebody in a chair. We got to feel each other out because even when stylists call that want to come in now, let's meet first.
You're interviewing.
Let's see if we're a vibe for each other. I don't want just anybody. Yes, we can have anybody there, but no, I like the energy.
Well, Angie, before we close out this segment, talk about the energy of the salon, the culture, the ambiance, and why women are choosing to come to Hair Angel Love Salon week after week after week or month after month after month. I'm bald, so I don't know how often people get their hair done.
Well, look, if you got short hair, twice a week.
Right.
Wow.
Maintenance.
I'm about to open a salon.
Maintenance. You know, we got to keep our women looking good.
Absolutely.
Like, especially, I went after the professional woman.
Yeah.
So the salon, we target the professional woman. So, and we know they come in, they are making their appointments. They are, you know, on time. They have a schedule. I love that. Like, you know, there's other salons out there doing different things, but I like the you know, the setup times, the schedules, and
well, that's good. I mean, that schedule for your particular client, keeping a schedule, and being able to and being a professional and experienced enough to know that you can get hair done in this time window.
Yeah. So,
because when you run behind, then everybody's mad.
It knocks everybody off.
It knocks everybody off. Yeah. But we're gonna talk about what's next for you. What's next for the salon? You're listening to Grind Set. And we'll be right back after the break.
Blues in the basement. In the basement.
I was born in 71, so that was kind of the year that all of Al Green's hits starting to pop off.
Blues in the Basement on the Kudzukian Network. Grind Set.
Welcome back to Grind Set. We're here with the owner of Hair Angel Love Salon, Angela Caster. And you know, you talk about you target professional women. Mm-hmm. How do you purposely market to those women? Mm-hmm. Or how do you set the trap or do the work or the service to have those women find you?
Social media is plays a big part in that. But that goes back to the tone that I like to set as far as the amenities that we have, the customer service, knowing that our clients are important to us because our clients are our first point of contact is to getting the word out. So if we treat them good, they go and tell other people in the office. Mm-hmm. And it's just a domino effect. It brings in more people. I have gotten a lot of clients off of the hashtags and just the different things that we do in the community. It's the word of mouth. And I feel like when you do word of mouth, that's almost better sometimes than social media, because they can actually get the information from somebody that they trust. And you know this person. So, of course, I'm going to trust them. I had a lady come in today that did that. She said, mm-hmm. I didn't even look at your page, but I trust what Ms. Jeanette said. And I wanted an appointment. So that plays a big part. That's why I work on that customer service.
So, Angela, let me ask you something. Do you look at yourself as a walking billboard when you're out and about in these streets? Yeah. Somebody say, Angie, I really like your hair. Who yeah. did it?
Yes. Yeah.
Does that happen to you?
Yes, all the time. Especially if I'm put together. I do have my days where I'm not quite put together. But if I have, even if I have my smock on.
Yeah.
People will say, hey, do you do hair or mm-hmm. whatever? And yes, I do. And I have always got cars everywhere. But I am my walking billboard. And anytime I'm doing any type of events, I let people know, hey, this is what I do. And, you know, it works. It's been working.
Yeah, absolutely. I even think back to how I discovered Hair Angel Love. It was during the pandemic. My stylist moved to Dallas, relocated. So I use hashtags. You know, they say you got to kiss a lot of frogs yeah. before you find a prince. So I had a few experiences. Again, it was about customer service, though.
Yes.
It was yeah. all about how I was treated when I walked in those salons. And I knew I would not come back. And the first time I walked into Hair Angel Love, I said, this is my home.
Yes. Yeah. And we love having you.
We love having you.
But that's what we want, though. Yeah. We want people to walk in and yeah. feel like, hey, you know, I feel I'm at home here. You know, right. especially with cosmetology now, they got us with the domestic violence certifications that we have to have.
Oh, really?
So we get all kind of people in that's dealing with all kind of stuff.
Okay.
And if you can feel at home there,
yeah.
you can possibly help, you know, a young lady or help somebody that's, mm-hmm. you know, going through something. So that creating an atmosphere lets people feel at home and comfortable. So I'm glad we make you feel like that.
Yeah. yes. I'm always there.
And you're going to tell everybody. You're going to tell your friends.
I don't even know how many people I referred. Some good clients, some demanding.
some demanding. But we love them all. We love them all.
So I wish I could name names, but I'm not.
Don't name names. Look,
don't air those people out. So Angie, right? Mm-hmm. Doing hair.
Yes.
Happy customers. When you're talking about running a business, if mm-hmm. I wanted to start a salon,
yes.
What are some of the business things that you would coach me on or that I should be aware of before I start? What are some of the things you talk to the students at the beauty school about when it comes to the business of salon ownership?
Good question.
When it comes to the business, for one, letting them know that everybody that does hair is not made to be a business or salon owner. Mm. Some, you know, it's just to do hair and maybe, you know, spread your wings within the industry. But to own a salon is totally different. You know, it has a lot more responsibilities. And like you said, you are your own walking billboard. So however I present myself, that's how people are going to think about my salon. And I tell the young ladies all that all the time. That's why I talk to them about their Facebook page, their Instagram page. How do you present yourself to your clients? You can do a style and people love their style for that moment, but how do you create longevity? You create longevity by creating an experience for that person. They remember you. They want to come back to you. So that side, the business side, and just doing hair and creating a style is totally different. I tell the kids that all the time. It's like you can do a style. Everybody can do a style. But can you create an experience for that client to be able to pay your bills off of, to be able to, you know, live off of? I mean,
And has your accounting background
yes.
helped you as a businesswoman, as a business owner?
It has. The accounting background that I received working at St. Jude, just the structure and being meticulous, attention to detail, all of those things helped me. And sometimes people say in the salon, I'm like, oh, you know, the floor, it looks nice. I'm like, oh, no, the floor, it looks perfect. But I see past what they see. So it's like, no, it's not. So it has helped me a whole. It has helped me a whole lot. And I still use it today, even with, you know, setting my prices and knowing, you know, how much it takes to run a salon, how much I need to bring in for the month, how much I have, because I'm trying to navigate my home life and the salon life, knowing that the salon has to be taken care of. That's what pays my bills. So I have to know how much I need to make for the month in order to cover my house and the salon. So I tell the ladies that all the time, when you're working in the kitchen, all you got to worry about is the kitchen.
That's it.
So, you know, when you're thinking about opening up salon, think about all that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would love to ask you, Angie, if we have so many women that listen to this podcast, how do you balance it all? What does work-life balance look like for Angie? Or is there such thing?
Is there such thing, Cynthia? Because I'm still learning.
Okay. Every day is different.
Every day is different.
Okay.
I do know that I have to create self-care days.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about self-care days just to go get my nails done.
Right.
Or, you know, just to go whatever. But it's literally taking a step back.
Yeah.
Sitting down, writing down what I need to get done. You know, kind of prioritizing things and making sure that I'm not, when I feel those moments of being overwhelmed, because I do have moments that I feel overwhelmed because everything is moving
so fast,
and the kids are pulling me here and the salon is pulling me here.
Yeah.
I have to create moments to say, okay, Angela, you're one person. Prioritize. So those moments, I just have to be in tune with what I'm feeling on the inside.
Okay.
And listen to myself, listening to what's, you know, looking at what's happening. So some days it can be a balance, some days.
Well, I think that's really honest, right? I think as women, we try to do it all, but that was really just a great example.
And learning how to delegate, because I didn't have a manager when I first started. I was like, I'm going to do it all. You know, I'm good. I got it.
Yeah.
But I had to learn to delegate.
Yeah.
When my clients will come in, I got one particular client, Tracy, and she knows when I'm like frantic, she'll say, Angela, breathe.
Okay.
And I literally take a deep breath and it's like, you know what? Okay.
Yeah.
But I have to create those moments for myself.
I think that's beautiful. So listen, Angie, again, I know where you're located. I see you once or twice a week.
Yes.
But I would absolutely, and Adrian, let me shout out Adrian as well. Adrian takes really good care of me. But I would love it if you share with our audience that's listening, where can they find you physically, your actual brick and mortar? Tell us your hashtags, website, just give us all your information.
Okay, well, we are Hair Angel Love Salon, located 2740 Bartlett Boulevard. We're located right across from the W.J. Freeman Park, that's located on Bartlett Boulevard. Our website is www.hairangellove.com. We are Hair Angel Love on Facebook and Instagram. Angie Louise on Facebook and Hair Angel Love. Hashtags Hair Angel Love all day long. if you hashtag Bartlett Salons or hair extensions, because we sell bundles. So if you hashtag or search hair extensions, our salon comes up. So
I love it.
Again, all are welcome.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I love the salon atmosphere. So
thank you.
I wish you nothing but much more success.
Thank you. Yes, awesome. This was great.
Thank you for sharing your story. And we'll be right back with the Woman Power Moment and the Major Keys after the break.
Riffin' on Jazz.
Riffin' on Jazz is your weekly visit with friends.
Talking about that music we all love.
That classic African-American art form called jazz.
Riffin' on Jazz. On the Kazookian Network. Kazookian.
Welcome back to Grind Set we just finished interviewing the owner of the Hair Angel Love Salon, Angela Castor. Her clients call her Angie. And she dropped some major keys for us, one of which is kind of new. I don't think we've shared this one, but it's listen to your intuition, right? God, the universe, your gut is screaming at you to take action towards your gifts. You knew from a teenager or elementary school that you should have been a salon owner, but you were stuck in some corporation doing accounting.
I wasn't.
Number two is get a mentor. I think we can try to figure things out on our own, or we can help somebody or allow somebody to guide us in the business. Also, set the tone of your business. People are looking at you and what you're doing to set the pace. If you're nasty, they're going to be nasty. If you're clean, they're going to be clean. If you're about your business, they're going to be about their business. So set the tone, especially if you have employees, but be mindful of it for your client experience as well. Four, giving back can be a recruiting tool, right? Speaking to schools, doing things like back to school where Angie and Angel Hair Love Salon was doing students' hair for back to school week. And that would created some buzz and some marketing. And people found her because of that. But it wasn't for the publicity. She did it because that's something that she wanted to do. And doing good can sometimes also be good for business. And then five, you know, we talk about marketing and advertising, but in the beauty business, doing good work is its own form of advertising. It's great marketing when your clients are walking around looking good, when you target professionals and your professional client walks into the office. And of course, she works with other women. And of course, they're going to compliment her hair. And of course, they want to know who did her hair. Number six is create a great experience. I think you get what you pay for, right? You can go in somebody's house with the TV playing and kids running around and whatever case is happening at home. But when you move up to professionals in professional spaces, be expect to pay professional prices for a great experience. And then seven, as business owners, regardless of your business and industry, learn how to delegate or else business will drive you crazy. Cynthia?
So for today's episode, now this is the first time for me I'm going to actually do two quotes that I feel speak to today's episode, but it's by the same person. The first one says, I don't like to gamble, but if there's one thing I'm willing to bet on, it's myself. The other one says, don't try to lessen yourself or the world. Let the world catch up to you. These are both quotes by Beyonce. And so when I think about Angie's story and how she really wanted to set the tone for her salon, how she really was ready and just fed up at her job to bet on herself, it's really important to believe in yourself and set the tone for everything else.
At the end of the day, Cynthia, bet on yourself. Bet on your dream and not on nobody else. You're listening to Grind Set. And we'll see you next episode.
Grind Set, executive producer, Epicenter. Grind Set is directed, produced, and distributed by Kudzukian.
Huey's is proud to support WYXR's Raised by Sound Fest. Established in 1970 with 10 locations, Huey's menu includes burgers, sandwiches, and more. More information at hueyburger.com.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to support and amplify arts events, programs, and experiences that together make a more vibrant and accessible Memphis arts scene.
Jazz Ambassadors of the U.S. Army Field Band is performing at Overton High School on Thursday, November 14th from 7 to 8:30. The official touring big band of the United States Army formed in 1969, the Jazz Ambassadors is a 19-member ensemble who has received great acclaim at home in all 50 states and abroad. Performing America's greatest original art form, jazz. The concert is free and open to the public. More information and tickets at armyfieldband.com/events.
Grind Set, inside the mind of successful entrepreneurs with your host, Cynthia Daniels and William Sprague.
Welcome back to another episode of Grind Set. I'm your host, Cynthia Daniels, Chief Event Strategist of Cynthia Daniels & Company.
And I'm your host, Williams Brack, author of The Small Business Guide to Capital Readiness, teaching entrepreneurs how to build bankable businesses.
And today's guest is Mint Jefferson, owner and herbalist of Mint Leaf. This business has been open, I would say, about the past 3.5 years, kind of when the pandemic hit. So it's exciting to hear about a business that really started during the pandemic and that's still thriving.
Yeah, I think COVID changed a lot, right? Mm-hmm. It changed people's living habits. People moved from the city to more country houses, out of apartments into homes.
Right.
People started exercising more. And more importantly, COVID increased people's sense of healthiness, mm-hmm. and it changed people's eating and health habits. And so my favorite type of entrepreneur that we have on these shows is that when the business just comes to you,
absolutely.
Right? When the business is created out of a personal story or even a personal testimony. And that's what Mint Leaf and Mint Jefferson started with. It was a personal story mm-hmm. That now she's sharing with everybody. And the products and the services are more believable because she is evidence in and of itself that Mint Leaf works.
Absolutely. And one thing I love that I've researched, the aim of Mint Leaf is to use the healing power of nature to restore the body's ability to protect, regulate, and heal itself. So I know we're in store for an amazing episode.
Oh, and Mint is a serial entrepreneur as well.
Right.
You're listening to Grind Set with Cynthia and Brack, and we'll be right back with Mint Jefferson, owner/herbalist of Mint Leaf.
Riffin' on Jazz.
It is a kingdom of Swaziland.
Right.
And that's one of the few, if there are any other African countries on the continent that are still kingdoms.
Right. Riffin' on Jazz on the Kazookian Network. Kazookian! Grind Set.
We're back once again with Mint Jefferson, owner and herbalist of Mint Leaf. Welcome to Grind Set. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
So, Mint, we're just going to jump right into it. You know, you've been in business for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. You shared with us offline that you relocated to Memphis in 2019. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to hear kind of what Mint Leaf is today and how you got started.
Mint Leaf is my own herbal brand. We have evolved to 26 stores right now. My store is on Main Street, 263 South Main. It's my store. It's all about health, healing, and just protecting your immune system. That's what I kind of target with Mint Leaf.
And talk about some of the products that you offer.
I make herbal teas. Mm-hmm. So the first tea is the elderberry tea. Elderberry is really good for the immune.
Okay.
It's really good for, like, if you have colds or the flu, or keep you from getting the cold or flu.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's good for inflammation, elderberry.
Perfect.
Then the next one is the slimming drink. I make it with green tea, senna. It helps with your digestive. It helps with your cholesterol. Mm-hmm. It helps with a lot of things. Also, suppressing your appetite. Then I got sea moss limeade.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't like sea moss. They don't like the taste of it.
Okay.
So it gives you those extra minerals that you need. And this is my capsule brand right here.
You guys should see the packaging. I mean, we'll talk about her branding, too. It's really nice.
So I have the turmeric. It's good for, like, joint pain or, you know, your stomach health. And the sea moss, like I say, give you all the minerals. Some people don't like the gel. This is the gel sea moss. They take the capsules.
Gotcha.
So sea moss give you a lot of minerals. It's like a daily vitamin.
Nice.
It helps you with cholesterol, blood pressure issues, gut health, so a prebiotic. Sea moss is amazing.
It does it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love that you have an entire product line. And it's amazing to hear that you're in so many stores. You have your own store as well. Take us back to what helped you discover all of these properties and you know, going from just wanting to be maybe healthy yourself to growing this empire now.
So how I got started on this journey. So while I was in Miami, mm-hmm. I got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So the doctors gave me no option, you know, like, yeah, the tumor was like on my main artery.
Wow.
And I couldn't get any treatments. Right. So I started researching herbs, you know, natural medicines.
Mm-hmm.
I started studying natural medicines, started fasting, mm-hmm. healed myself. I healed myself in two years.
That's incredible.
Yeah. With wow. no cancer, cancer free.
Congratulations. That's yeah. it, remarkable.
Yes.
And so once you were able to heal yourself, how do you, again, go from just doing this for yourself to now having a business and selling products to communities?
When COVID hit, you know, like my family, friends, they knew what I could do.
Okay.
So they was like, you know, help some people, you know, make them some teas or tonics or something, because the doctors can't figure this out. And yeah. I know you could do it.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, okay. I started mixing up stuff in the kitchen.
Okay.
I was mixing up things in the kitchen.
Sure.
Yeah. And I started like telling people that, you know, they can come to my house, mm-hmm. you know, and then one person gave this person my number and it's like a chain reaction with that.
Wow.
So I was like, you know what? I had a business doing lashes and brows. Okay. Let me take this business and turn it to an herbal store. And I did it like in 1 week. So me and my husband, we went and changed everything around to an herbal business.
No, that's incredible. How can you do that in a week? Because you got to find the herb. You got to source. You got to label the bottles and everything.
I already had like a line of herbs that I was doing myself. And I was kind of mixing up stuff for people on the side. Yeah. So I already had like a collection.
Got it.
And then we just order more stuff.
Got it.
And order bottling and all this stuff.
And I'm curious because I'm thinking right now there's an entrepreneur who has one business and wants to rebrand and try something different. Did you take the same website and kind of rebrand it and start over? Or did you just build everything new in this new name? How did that transition?
I built everything like from the ground up, from start to finish.
Okay.
From the start, I didn't have a website.
Most of us don't.
I didn't have a website.
Yeah.
So you don't have to start with a website if you want to do local brand. I tell any entrepreneurs, do a local business first. Mm-hmm. Don't try to branch out to be so this big person and go online, because people online, they already iffy. They don't even know you. So why are you, you know, starting a brand from, you can't get home base first, what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
The locals.
Yeah.
So you start the local brand first.
Now we're going to have to take a step back for me. What is an herbalist?
Somebody who study herbal medicines, plant-based, like getting medicine from plants.
Got it. Well, that's helpful because I don't know. We're talking about the herbs, the mm-hmm. teas and all these different yeah. things. Mm-hmm. And so it's helpful to understand what an herbalist is, because my most famous example of herbalist is Dr. Sabi.
Dr. Sabi,
and yeah. that was my introduction yeah. into sea moss and all these different teas yeah. and things of that nature. But to see it actually, to sit across from someone that has done their own research, used it and healed themselves. And now they're selling the product mm-hmm. through word of mouth. So business is growing based on all the things that you've mm-hmm. done. Where did you go to sort of source all of your products? Was it Alibaba? No. Is there people in the United States that offer these herbs? You got a partner with a farm somewhere in Tennessee or Mississippi. Talk about how you start to source these mm-hmm. herbs.
So I do my research with the sourcing in the States too. I like Chinese herbs. I do a lot of Chinese herbs because mm-hmm. I go to China.
Okay.
And I like to source Chinese herbs. With the herbs too, I go to organic places that sell organic wholesale
yeah.
herbs.
Okay.
I get herbs out of Honduras.
Wow.
I get a lot of the soursops and stuff from Honduras.
Okay.
The sea moss is from like Jamaica, depending on where it come from. I'm very ticky about the sea moss.
Okay.
So I source from different places.
Yeah, that's good, because now this is an international business, right? So you're importing herbs from all across the world. Mm-hmm. We're talking about import, export, all these different things. And so we're going to talk about you as a businesswoman when we come mm-hmm. When we get back. You're listening to Grind Set with Cynthia and Brack, and we'll be right back after the break.
Human Speed with Kirk Whalum.
Avery Sunshine, I am just overjoyed to spend some time with you.
Listen, what you know about pot liquor? You from Memphis, so you know.
My favorite part of all of that, you know, I'm like, don't throw that away.
Human Speed with Kirk Whalum.
Grind Set.
Welcome back to Grind Set. We're here with Mint Jefferson, owner and herbalist with Mint Leaf. And so you've been a serial entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Where did you learn about business? Was it school or was it trial and error?
Trial and error.
And so talk about some of the business lessons that you've learned over the years that is allowing Mint Leaf to thrive today.
I don't overdo it. Mm-hmm. Now, some people in business, they overdo it. You want to sell this product, they go out and buy so much stuff, they don't know if it's going to sell or not.
Right.
I don't overdo it.
The inventory.
You don't overdo it. You know, you're going to try it, see if they're going to like it, and then you overdo it when they like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't start off overdoing your business. I don't know. It's been a lot of trials and errors when it come up to business for me.
Here's one thing I'd love to know. Your customers, how do you know what you need to stock up on in terms of inventory? How do you manage that?
So we do inventory in the stores every week. And it's crazy that some products in certain stores sell and some products in certain stores, other stores sell. It'll be like this might sell, I might sell 40 of these a week.
Okay.
In one, and in some stores, I might sell 10, you know, 10 of just one bottle of this.
Right.
And then I might sell 100 of these.
Interesting.
And then, you know, I'm just saying, it just make, depends.
When you say of these, say the name of the drink that you're holding up.
The slimming drink. Yeah. I might sell 40 of elderberry drinks in one store.
So it's almost like you're able to gauge what neighborhood prefers certain product.
Yes.
Okay. That's really cool.
And do you use a system for that or Excel? Or how do you sort of gauge the numbers? What technology or spreadsheets do you use to manage the business?
Right now, since I'm local, I'm not trying to get, I'm not big like Coca-Cola or nobody like that.
Not yet.
So we're doing inventory sheets.
Okay.
And I send an inventory person around to check the products, check the expiration on the products every week, how much the count and everything like that. So
got it.
We do using regular paper, like old school.
I mean, old school still work, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Well, here on the Grindset audience, we always love to ask entrepreneurs about your team, right? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like during COVID, during the pandemic, you were creating things kind of for people in your neighborhood. Then you now have branched out into having a store. Tell me, how did you determine the type of employees you needed to bring on your team?
First, I got all these different counter recipes and things that I want to keep like a secret.
Okay.
Like the kernel.
You're proprietary. Mm-hmm. Got it.
So I'm really ticky about hiring people. Like call every day about hiring. Like I'm not going to let you play around with my teas and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's a secret.
Sure.
I mean, you know, so mostly family, my aunts, a couple of my cousins, my husband.
People you trust. Know,
people I trust.
Okay.
Like that.
My favorite question to ask all entrepreneurs, because Grindset audience is entrepreneurs listening to the show, how did you decide how much you were charging for your products? What went into that?
So we sit down and did like analyze how much it's going to cost us to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The bottling, the labeling, the herbal products. And then we just broke it down. So we did everything like analyze the whole product situation.
One thing you just tapped back into something that I wanted to mention earlier, looking across from all of your products, the branding, the logos, if you could help our Grindset audience understand, what was that process like for you? Like making sure you created the right logo, the right packaging, especially because you're dealing with, I'm sure it doesn't have a long shelf life, maybe some of your products. So if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, my husband created the whole logo labeling situation.
Shout out to your husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sean Jefferson.
All right.
So yeah. So he created that. He created the logo. Mm-hmm. We did everything kind of like in-house from the beginning.
Okay.
And then as I made money, I moved on to label because labels can be expensive. Like, so we moved on to that. Far as the packaging, the far as the expiration date and all that, that's done through USDA. So they're going to make sure everything is on point.
Gotcha.
So if I put something wrong on it, they're going to tell me, no, we can't have that product out.
But no, that's good to know. I think, again, a lot of people that are listening, you know, your brand is as significant as the product that you're creating.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you just passed by, you were like, oh, yeah, we're in 26. I pivoted and we started doing business in 26 stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you just pick up the phone? I want my product in your store and they put it in the shelf. Talk us through how that process worked.
I had I had one of my clients. Everything just kind of like God just led everybody to me.
Nice.
So I had one of my clients that I was helping her with her situation she had going on with ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And she does sales. And so she was talking to me about, she said, man, you know, she was thinking what I was thinking. She was like, you need to get this stuff in store so these people can come stop coming up here. And I was like, yeah, you're right. With COVID going on, everybody's sick.
Right.
I wasn't even wearing no mask. because I knew what to do. So But everybody was sick, and she was like, well, I can talk to a few stores and see, can we get you in?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And after that, me and my husband like called stores and marketed our own stuff ourselves.
So it's all about these relationships, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about relationships, right? And your customers seem to be your biggest marketers.
Mm-hmm. My customers, they be in the stores like having whole full conversations about the product. Oh, my blood pressure is normal now.
Yeah.
My cholesterol, have cholesterol issues. I don't mm-hmm. have, they just be talking like, I mean, they tell me what how it helped them.
Yeah.
Basically.
Incredible.
And so, you know, from a business perspective, what professional advisors have you worked with? Do you work with attorneys? Do you have accountants that you work with? Bankers that you've gotten involved, because inventory heavy, you have a storefront and you're selling to stores. And so that has to create some capital and money issues, right? Maybe you use professional advisors in the business. Do you?
Yeah. From the beginning, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I had no money.
Most entrepreneurs, we all have the same story.
So in the beginning, you just take a chance.
Yeah.
You just get you some liability insurance and take a chance. You have to take a chance. So you don't have, access to a lawyer or not. I got it now.
Sure.
You know, as I build, you know, you're going to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
Bankers. No, I have somebody with, that does a CPA.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't have anybody else that actually do financing for me.
What happened that you said, man, I really need to get this lawyer now? Or you always knew and couldn't afford them at the beginning, or you just, something happened in the business. Okay, it might make sense to have an attorney on deck for the business.
Yeah, when the government come for you, it's when you have to have your attorneys. I mean, you know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because I'm dealing with, I mean, herbs are still medicines too. You know, it's natural medicines.
It makes sense.
So I got to have a, just protect myself.
Yeah, fair enough. And listen, so we're going to talk about the future for Mint Leaf. You're in 26 stores. You're operating in Memphis. Word of mouth is going crazy. Mm-hmm. Website is up. Social media. So we're going to talk about the future.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Grind Set with Cynthia and Brack. And we'll be right back after the break.
Kudzukian. The company is based in Memphis, but it is international.
A new building, an expanded team, new equipment, a new studio, all inside of 7 years.
The resources that we were able to utilize with Kudzukian and their team has been incredible. And our partners at Kudzukian has been a large part of our success.
One, it's Black owned. So we get to tell our own stories in our own way. I'm so proud of the founder, Larry Robinson, and his entire family and all of the team here at Kudzukian.
We are so proud of their progress that they've made here in Memphis.
With social media and the technology we have today, the world is listening.
Kudzukian. Check out all your Kudzukian favorites now. Download the Kudzukian app, available on Android and iOS.
Grind Set.
Welcome back to Grind Set. We're here with Mint Jefferson, owner and herbalist at Mint Leaf. And so when you're self-taught in this herb business and self-healed, what do the doctors have to say about the self-healing and the herb piece of your business, right? Because you got medical professionals versus the herbalist. That's been a long time debate.
Yeah, the doctors have a lot to say. I have clients that go to the doctor and they're taking high blood pressure medication.
Mm-hmm.
I have over 200 different people that's off blood pressure medication in Memphis.
Interesting.
The doctors know me.
Ah.
They know if they say Mint Leaf, like, oh, some of them say, okay, keep doing what you're doing. Others like, don't take that with your medication. Other ones, you know, tell them, you know, just keep doing what you're doing.
Sure.
But they like, I heard that Mint Leaf brand. Like, they
it's
know
kind
it.
Of a good thing though,
they
right?
know it.
You're healing people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Mint, one of the things I love to ask entrepreneurs, especially because we're surrounded by your family right now, which I think is really cool, right? As a woman, you're a wife, you're a mother.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance being a business owner as well?
We make it work because my husband has his own business.
Okay.
It's downtown, too.
Okay.
So, like today, I had to go to the beauty shop,
okay,
you know, get cute. And he came and opened the store up and, sure. and you know, and left his store, opened my store, and vice versa. I work at his store sometime, and he worked. We kind of like, we juggle it out. We make it work.
And so do you all write out a schedule? You just kind of wake up, go with the flow?
You have to go with the flow.
Okay.
I have somebody working the store every day.
Yeah.
But they were on vacation. So we just go with the flow.
That's an honest answer.
Yeah.
I think
we really do.
Yeah. Sometimes as women, we feel like we have to be superwoman and everything has to be perfect. And you're like, no, we just go with the flow. You make it work. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
And then what about self-care? Are you able to take time away from your business?
Oh, I'm going to take time for me.
Okay, let's talk about that. What does that look like for me?
I'm going to go to the nails. I'm going to get my hair done.
Okay.
I'm very a modern day woman. I can't, you know, and people look at me because, you know, I'm in.